From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, June 26, 2017. And on this day, it is really getting down to crunch time on the state budget. We will have an update on the negotiations in Augusta, and we will look at what happens to social assistance programs if there is a government shutdown. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
The state is just 5 days away from a government shutdown. Legislative leaders in a special budget committee have been unable to break an impasse that centers on education funding, even after many closed-door meetings. Political reporter Steve Missler's here to update us on the negotiations. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
All right. So, Steve, I feel like we have been reporting the same thing for weeks. Legislative leaders have been meeting behind closed doors, and yet they still don't have an agreement that could get enough support in the legislature to pass a budget and avoid that shutdown. What, if anything, has changed?
Well, by the sounds of it, not too much. We're not privy to the substance of the talks. We just know that the talks have been going on throughout the weekend and for several weeks. And the only thing that's changed, it seems, is that time is running out to strike a deal and pass a budget before the government shuts down on Saturday. And basically, the legislature has until Friday to get that budget to Governor Paula Page and hope that he'll either sign it or veto it right away. He needs to do one of those two things immediately to avoid a shutdown because funding for the government runs out July 1st, that's Saturday. And we have no assurances that the governor will act right away. And by law, he doesn't have to. He has 10 days to act on any bill, including the budget. And if he takes even one of those 10 days, it's likely we will have a partial government shutdown. And the key thing here is that lawmakers haven't even been able to draft a budget bill, much less vote on one.
The key sticking point is education funding, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are basically four parties in this negotiation: Senate Republicans, Senate Democrats, House Democrats, and House Republicans, who have aligned themselves with the governor. Now, education funding is always a big negotiation in budget talks, but what's different about this one is that voters passed a referendum last year that raised public education funding by adding a 3% surcharge on wealthy Mainers. Now, Democrats have taken that vote as a mandate to increase education funding. But Republicans and the governor have vowed to eliminate that surcharge. And here's the thing. Democrats seem willing to do that, but only if the budget raises other revenue, say the lodging tax or broadening the sales tax, to replace what otherwise would have been raised by that surcharge. Now, Senate Republicans have come forward with additional education spending, but so far have been resistant to any tax changes that would ensure that that funding is sustained. And meanwhile, you have House Republicans and the governor who have asked to tack on education changes that are more policy-oriented and less having to do with funding. And, you know, it's the addition of those requests that have irked Democrats. A Democratic House Speaker, Sarah Gideon, was asked what it would take to break the impasse earlier today, and here's what she said.
So, I mean, that's a great question, and that's really the question that Senator Jackson and I posed today when we came forward with yet more changes and more compromise and ideas that were soundly rejected. So I would ask you to go ask our counterparts down the hall that exact same question.
So it sounds like Democrats feel like they are making all the concessions and that Republicans are refusing to budge.
Yeah, I think that's the view of House Democrats, of House Republicans in particular. And I think that they're probably a lot closer with Senate Republicans in terms of education spending, although they're not settled on revenue sources. And then you have Senate Democratic leader Troy Jackson, who's been very critical of the Senate Republican proposal. Jackson said he was very frustrated that Republicans were taking such a hard line on eliminating the education surcharge, despite its approval by voters. Here he is.
And people went out and worked for that and voted for it. And even though they say you can get those signatures in Bangor and you can get them in Portland, I don't care. People all the way up in Fort Kent voted for these referendums. And now we're turning that back. Like, that doesn't matter. Well, the people's vote matters. It matters. You know, if that was the case, we wouldn't have Donald Trump as president.
He sounds pretty frustrated.
Yeah, I think everybody's pretty frustrated at this point. And nobody seems terribly optimistic about resolving this before the end of the week. And you think about it, these four people have been meeting for over 2 weeks, and they're basically at the same place they were when they started negotiating. Republican Senate President Michael Thibodeau was asked about the lack of progress.
We've got a lot of people working hard trying to find some common ground. I know that there are differences of opinion even at this late stage. People are passionate about their position. I'm hoping that, they won't allow that passion to get in between them and, some compromise that we all need to find.
So it sounds like he is kind of appealing to people to abandon their entrenched positions. But even at this late hour, there are still people who are holding those positions. What's going to happen next?
Well, I think what you're going to see in the next day or so is that House Democrats, Senate Republicans, and Senate Democrats are basically going to put together some kind of budget proposal, and they're going to bring it to the floor of the House and Senate. They'll probably vote on it Thursday, and they'll do so knowing that they may not have the two-thirds support they need to pass it as an emergency. If that happens, there are two possible outcomes. The budget fails, and they start all over again. Or maybe that vote and the pressure of a shutdown will be the thing that forces those in entrenched positions to vote for the budget.
Thanks for bringing us up to date, Steve.
Happy to do it, Nora.
So what happens if there is a government shutdown? Well, we're not really sure in some cases, and advocates for the poor and elderly want to know what the plan is. In the event of a state government shutdown on July 1st, what services will be deemed essential by the governor? Will food stamps, Medicaid, and other assistance be provided? The state has yet to provide any answers. And as Susan Sharon reports, at least one group is preparing for the worst.
If there is a state government shutdown, and if the state refuses to process benefits for food stamps, temporary aid for needy families, and Medicaid, or to accept and process applications for those programs, Jack Comart says he's ready to go to federal court. Comart is the litigation director for the low-income advocacy group Maine Equal Justice Partners.
We've notified the state that we're preparing to sue if there is a shutdown. All those programs are required by federal law to have certain timeliness standards for processing applications and providing benefits, so the state would be in violation of those, so we would sue.
Around the state, Comart says about 450,000 clients would be affected. About 270,000 are recipients of MaineCare, the state's Medicaid program. About 150,000 receive food stamps, and another 7,000 receive TANF.
A lot of them are elderly and disabled, and, you know, we want to provide them with assurance that they're going to get their food supplement benefits, they're going to get their MaineCare benefits, and they're not going to go without.
Among those worrying about the effects of a state government shutdown is 54-year-old Sarah Dunlap of Mexico. She's a former truck driver who says she's disabled because of multiple health conditions, including diabetes. She receives food stamps to supplement her Social Security and MaineCare, which pays for her insulin.
Food is very important, and my insulin is very important. If I don't get my insulin for whatever reason, I've got hours before I go DKA, or diabetic ketoacidosis, which is pre-coma. But if I have no way of getting my insulin, you know, I'm sure to die.
Dunlap doesn't drive and instead relies on a state transportation service to get her to her doctor's appointments. She says if she paid for her insulin out of pocket, it would cost about $900 a month, well over the $735 she receives in SSI. She says her adult son would do what he could for her, but he'd be hard-pressed to cover the cost of her medication and her food. Samantha Watson of Parsonsfield says she'd also see a domino effect in her world if state aid is not forthcoming. She's a single mother enrolled in the state's Parents as Scholars program.
If government shuts down, that means I don't have access to the child care that I use, which means I won't be able to get to school or my work-study position. It means I won't have money for gas. And it means I won't have my food supplement income. That would be devastating.
Watson is a nursing student at the University of Southern Maine who says she's worked hard to finish early so she can get a job as quickly as possible and become financially independent. A government shutdown, she says, could disrupt that plan if she misses classes and an upcoming exam.
I want to know why government pages and the legislature aren't doing everything that they can to prevent this crisis from happening. Because that's what this will be. This will be a crisis.
Amy Gallant of AARP Maine is concerned about the ramifications for everyone, from retirees and state employees to low-income workers of all ages who cannot afford to go days, let alone weeks, without a paycheck or state assistance.
And we urge the administration to protect the most essential services, such as SNAP, FoodSup, Medicare savings, drugs for the elderly, certainly any kind of housing subsidy, any kind of essential service.
But so far, the state has been mum about what it might consider essential to keep going during a state shutdown. The Department of Health and Human Services referred all questions to the governor's office, and the governor's office did not respond to requests for comment for this story. During the state government shutdown of 1991, former Attorney General Michael Carpenter convinced the administration of Republican Governor John McKernan that DHHS should stay open, and Mainers received their assistance. Now, a Democratic state senator, Carpenter is not optimistic that would happen.
The chief executive in those days was very consultative, if you will, with my office. I don't think that'll be the case now. The relationship is not the same between Governor LePage and Attorney General Mills as it was between myself and Governor McKernan.
Carpenter says he's spoken with the Attorney General and her chief deputy, who are preparing for a possible state shutdown. But whatever their position is, they aren't saying. A spokesperson for the Attorney General's office declined to comment for this story. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, June 26th. Thanks to Ed Morin and Keith Shortall and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.